I will date myself as I begin when I talk about this topic typically by observing that when I was a kid growing up, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Chazar Asa Shatzin, it tends to be very long. So you get a little bit bored. So what do you do? So, I don't know, I grew up with the Birnbaum Machzor. I'm not sure how many of you encountered the Birnbaum Machzor. And the Birnbaum Machzor, in the back, the last couple of pages, you have a table of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what dates and day of the week it comes out, you know, going a certain number of years into the future, and depending on when your Machzor was bought, at a certain point it's the number of years into the past. But I was always a little bit worried because at some point that table ran out. In fact, I'm pretty sure, I haven't checked this recently, but I'm pretty sure that the Birma Machzor that sits on my shelf that I had as a kid has run out. And then the question becomes, how do we know when Rosh Hashanah is, I'll start with Rosh Hashanah is really the important part, how do we know when it is in a given year? That's how do we decide? So today, presumably, you go to the web, you go to HebCal, and you download onto your Google Calendar app, and there you go, you have you find out what dates are when, and that's very nice. However, how do the HebCal people know? Right, so you go to the, you see the Gabayim, sometimes there's something called a little book called the Ezra's Torah Luach. Right, well, every year you get a new Ezra's Torah Luach, but how do the printers know what they're supposed to print? Who decides on the issue? And you can imagine that given the general trends towards unity in Klal Yisrael today, if the issue were being decided today, we'd have, 13 different calendars. So the question is, how we know how one sets the calendar? We know that there's a method that everybody agrees upon how one sets the calendar, but the question is, what is that method? I think the title of this year was entitled, Why is this year a leap year? Just because it happens to be a leap year, so I could give it that title. But it's an important question. How do we know when there are leap years? What determines that? Obviously, many of you probably know that the issue with the leap year is a concern over Pesach coming out during the winter. But there are theoretically multiple ways of avoiding Pesach coming out during the winter. How is it exactly that our calendar is set up? So, from an astronomical perspective, I think you're aware that we, generally speaking, follow a lunar calendar and not a solar calendar. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah says that on Va'atil Eschem HaMenahamim, the first source, Amar Ablevi, Kol Ma'aseyev She'Yisrael, Meshuna Me'umas HaOlam. The Jewish people are different than the other nations of the world in terms of their actions and deeds. They do things differently. And at the last end of the line, Minyanam, the way they count, She'Nemar, Kisi Sa'as Rosh B'nei Yisrael, Yisrael Monim La'Levana V'Umas HaOlam L'Chama. The Jewish people count following the moon, and the Gentiles count according, following the sun, the solar calendar. Now, obviously, as you know, we don't count only to the lunar calendar. If we did, we would have a situation like the Muslims do with Ramadan, which comes out all across the year. So instead, we have some type of hybrid. And now, what is the source for having a hybrid? What's the source for, halachically speaking, trying to sync the two calendars? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah quotes a drasha. It's the second source. Shalach le Rahuna bar Avin the Rabba kachosis dimashcha tufas teves achitzar b'nisan. If the winter season extends all the way till the 16th of Nisan, abra lahishata, make that year a leap year, make it a meuberes velo tachoshla. Don't even consider anything else. Dichsiv shamor es chodesh avir. You are supposed to preserve or watch the month of spring. Shamor aviv shel tekufa shiyehi bechodesh Nisan. Make sure that the spring season begins in Chodesh Nisan. Now, how does one... So just a comment generally about years and months, astronomically speaking. There is no such thing as a lunar year, and there is no such thing as a solar month. Those are purely arbitrary times that are set by people. The only two phenomena in the calendar that exist as astronomical phenomena are a solar year and a lunar month. A lunar month is defined by the moon beginning and being in conjunction with the sun and the earth, which means more or less being on a direct line between the sun and the earth. It may be a little up or a little down. If it smacks straight on, you get an eclipse. You get a solar eclipse. And the time that it takes the moon come back into position around the Earth to the same angle between the sun, that is the definition of a lunar month. In terms of the definition of a solar year, so a solar year, the starting point can be arbitrary, but the position of the Earth with respect to the sun, and if you want to say the celestial sphere, the stars behind it, whenever the moon, sun, when Earth returns to that very same position, that's the definition of a solar year. So you can imagine solar years, for the most part, we have make sense because the count, you know, February 1st is the same amount of daylight and nighttime every single year, more or less, within a minute, because it is a phenomenon that makes sense. If you have a lunar month, how long is a lunar month? Anybody know? 29 and a half days and 793 halakim. Which is, that's the traditional number. It's off by current calculations of scientists by about one-third of a second. It's pretty accurate. So the lunar months, the problem, of course, is that 12 lunar months brings you to 354 days and 8 hours and 876 halakim. I'm not doing the math now. There's a mnemonic for it. It's called Dach Tatu. And obviously that leaves you almost 11 days short, not quite, but almost 11 days short of the solar year. And that's where the problem lies, because the moon cycles are not synced to the sun cycles. However, a very, very long time ago, the ancient Babylonians noted, and it's referred today as the Metonic cycle, after, I guess, the Greek, I don't know, astronomer, 5th century in Athens, Meton of Athens. The Metonic cycle, what he noticed and what others actually before him noticed, is that in the course of 19 years, if you add 7 extra months in, meaning 235 months, lunar months, comes out to be almost exactly 19 solar years. In Chazal's, if you work with the number 365 and a quarter days for a year, the difference, which is not accurate, it's too long by about 11 minutes, but that's known as Tkufa Shmuel. It's found in the Gemara in Erevin. So if you work, and that's also known as the Julian calendar, if you assume 365 and a quarter days, the difference between 19 solar years and 235 lunar months works out to an hour and 485 halakim, which is not a whole lot of time, in a given 19 years, but if you want to understand why Pope Gregory, about 400 years ago, had to adjust the calendar by 11 days, it's because that hour and 485 halakim every 19 years starts to add up, you know, as centuries go by. So by the time a century has gone by, you've lost not quite a day. But more or less, 19 lunar years and 19 solar years come very, very close together. And that's the base. That is basically how our calendar is set up. It's set up so as to keep the lunar and solar cycles in sync. Now, there's a very, very basic question to be asked, though, about our calendar. It's nice that we can do the arithmetic. I wouldn't even call it astronomy. It's very basic arithmetic. But I don't know if any of you have ever learned the Mishnayos of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, but if you learn the Mishnayos of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, what you will see is that the Mishnayos describe the process of Kiddush HaChodesh, how the Beis Din determine the month every single month. The way they determined whether to make it a leap year or not was really based upon seasons and other indicators, for the most part, that you could that were determined by them just by looking around. But the process of declaring Rosh Chodesh was actually a formal process which began with Adam observing the appearance of the new moon and coming to Beis Din and testifying, and Beis Din would be declare the month to be Rosh Chodesh. I'll ask this question, as I always do. If anybody was in, I don't remember if it was this year or the previous year, if anybody was in Camp Stone, you may not answer this question, because I asked this question and went around, and almost nobody knew the answer. But you know that Rosh Chodesh is sometimes one day and sometimes 2 days. Why? Yes?
Depends on when the Eidim
come. Well, no, today. We're talking about today. And back when the Eidim came, for the most part, it wasn't 2 days. So you shouldn't feel bad, because literally you could have gone around the entire Sevet of Machane Stone. I think there were two people who knew the answer to this question. The answer is it all depends upon what the previous month is. If it's 30 days, then there are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, meaning the 30th day of the previous month and the first day of the next month. If the previous month is only 29 days, there's only 1 day Rosh Chodesh. What's the logic behind it? It's quite simple. When you get to the 29th of the month, so the halacha only recognizes two lengths of month, either 29 or 30, which means when day 29 is coming to a close, one of two things is going to happen. Either Beis Din is going to declare the next day to be Rosh Chodesh, or they're going to declare the 31st day to be Rosh Chodesh. Now, once they declare, the reason why we keep 2 days Rosh Chodesh is because when we want Rosh Chodesh to be the first day of the month. But the 30th day we also treat as Rosh Chodesh because theoretically it could have been set as Rosh Chodesh. That's the basic rule. I think the Rambam actually says this somewhere in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. I think it's obvious, but apparently it's not obvious until you stop and think about it and look at the calendar. So that's the rule for Rosh Chodesh. If you learn nothing else, at least that for me, that you know. You can go ask everybody else. When are the 2 days Rosh Chodesh? When are there one? Now, one of the things that you see in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, is that it seems to be that Beis Din's responsibility is to be Mekadesh HaChodesh if the Edom come and see that they saw the new moon, and to make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh. If the Edom don't come, or even if the Edom saw the moon, but something happened, they got delayed in coming, and the process got delayed, and the sun set on the 30th day, and Beis Din had not had the opportunity to say Mekudash HaChodesh, then by default, the month became a 30-day month. Okay, that was the process. But if the Edom came, or whatever basis Beis Din declared Rosh Chodesh to be on day 30, that would become the first day of the next month. So one might ask oneself a very simple question. Where is the Beis Din that's Mekadesh the Chodesh today? Do you know of any such Beis Din? For hundreds and hundreds of years where there were essentially no Jews living in the land of Israel. There was no time, at least in the last 2,000 years, there were no Jews. But you know, during the Crusades, there probably were not too many Jews left. So, where's the Sanhedrin? What happens? And what should happen, by the way, now, what one would think is that every month will be 30 days. Why? Because there's no Beis Din there to declare the 30th be Rosh Chodesh. So automatically, by default, the 31st day becomes Rosh Chodesh. And by the way, the leap year should also fall apart. It was Beis Din's responsibility to declare the leap year. Questions? No.
I thought you were asking a question.
Okay. So the question is, how then does the calendar...
Sorry. Would they have celebrated 2 days of Rosh Chodesh when they had a incident?
The answer is almost certainly not. When you talk about celebrating 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, how did you celebrate Rosh Chodesh in the time of the Mishnah, in theory? How would you celebrate Rosh Chodesh according to the Torah?
Korbanos.
Rosh Chodesh had a Korban Musaf, even though it was a weekday. You only brought one set of Korbanos on the day that was actually Rosh Chodesh. There's a famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah about what happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's not just about Rosh Chodesh, it's about the Korbanos of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is complicated. It's particularly complicated because what do you do for Yom Tov if Yom Tov is the first day of the month, but you don't know when the first day of the month is? Right? Because as the 29th day comes to the end, the next day is the 30th, but you're not a Navi or Naviyah, so you don't know whether Edom are going to come the next day and it will be declared Rosh Chodesh. And once it is declared Rosh Chodesh, it turns out that from the very beginning of the day, it was not only Rosh Chodesh, but it was Rosh Hashanah. Or perhaps Edom won't come. They won't show up. Edom won't see the moon. They won't be able to come, whatever it is. And then the next day won't be Rosh Hashanah. It will be the 30th day of Elul. And then the next day will be Rosh Hashanah. So that, I'm not going to talk about it. That's a complicated scenario. But the question remains, how is it exactly that the calendar continues to function if the method of declaring the calendar is that of setting the calendars that Beis Din has to be Mekadesh Chodesh and Beis Din has to be Ma'aber Tishana? Again, the default option is after Adar is over, Nisan begins. Unless the Beis Din says, you know, we are declaring this a leap year and the next month will be Adar Sheni. So this question bothered the Rishonim a lot, as you might imagine. They knew how they lived their lives, and they knew how the calculation was done, but the question is, why does the calendar continue to work? Or why does it not fall apart? So there are three theories that were offered. The most pedestrian, if I may use that term, theory, it's the least novel in a certain way, although historically one wonders as to its accuracy. And let me make one thing clear. The Rishonim do not have a tradition here. It's very clear from their debate. They're hypothesizing, or they're laying down sort of hypothetical manner in which the calendar might work. They all know that the calendar works. That's not the question. The question is, why does it work? So Ramban, in his critique of the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in his Hasagos, on the Mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the Ramban writes, it's the last of the source on the Roman numeral 2. I will read the Ramban. The Ramban says, Aval marpe hakoshi hagadol hazeh. The solution, the healing to this great difficulty, is Sherabenu Hillel Hanasi, Benosha L'Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Hillel Hasheni, they refer to him as, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Shetikein Cheshbon HaIbor. He was the one who established the calculation, and you know what he did? Hu Kidesh Chadashim V'Iber Shanim Haru'iyim L'Shaber L'Fi Minyano Acha Yavo Eliyavzal. You know what he did? He sat down one day, must have had a lot of time, and he said, okay, Rosh Chodesh, he was sitting down, I don't know, in Mar Cheshvan. He said, Rosh Chodesh next month for Kislev will be on the following day. I'm being Mekadesh now. Rosh Chodesh of Teves will be that day. I'm Mekadesh now. Rosh Chodesh Shvat will be that day. And he went on and on and on, being Mekadesh month after month after month, and making the appropriate years leap years, declaring them leap years right then, long in advance, for years until Eliyahu comes. Now, I don't know when Hillel Hasheni thought Eliyahu was going to come, because that itself could be a problem, but that's what the Ramban says. Once that happens, when Eliyahu comes, and we have a Sanhedrin again, V'nachzor le'kidushenu al pi ha'ra'iyah be'beithin be'bayis ha'gadol v'akadosh amein b'meher v'yameinu hiyah. Now, there is one serious problem with the Ramban's theory, and he knows that, and he sort of addresses it, but not sufficiently. Beithin, certainly, it's not clear that they can be Mekadesh L'Chodesh in advance, and it's also very clear they cannot set the leap years in advance. In fact, a leap year has to be determined before Adar Sheni is over. What is the earliest time Beis Din can declare? They're really supposed to wait towards the end. But what is the earliest time that the Beis Din can be Ma'aber the Shana, and it's valid and binding? The answer is after Rosh Hashanah. There is a practice today that takes note of the fact that Beis Din cannot be Ma'aber l'shana, they cannot declare the year a leap year and have it be binding, calendarically binding, unless it passed Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if any of you can take a guess as to what that might be. Excellent. You know that we add in, we say, Chadesh Aleinu Sachodesh Ezele Tova, L'Vracha, L'Sasen Vracha, and so on, there are 12 things there. And in a leap year it says, add in, Ulecha Paras Pashat. Now, when does the leap year begin and when does the leap year end? The answer is the year, for these purposes, we add in the 13th month. It goes from Nisan till the end of Adar. When do we start saying L'chaparas Pasha? Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Why don't we start with Iyar? Or Sivan? Or Tammuz? Or Av? Or Elul? The answer is because Beis Din cannot be Ma'aber the Shana until after Rosh Hashanah. And I believe there's a brisa that says that if they did it, it's not binding. If Beis Din was Ma'aber the Shana before Rosh Hashanah, and they didn't do anything after Rosh Hashanah, comes Adar, the end of Adar, the Mekadesh, the Chodesh, the next day is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that is a great difficulty in the Ramban's position. What you have to say for the Ramban is that the din in the Raisa is really the Chatchila, but in a Shas Adchak, like Hillel Hasheni was facing, so he had no choice but to do it this way. It's still somewhat difficult for only the reason, I don't know what the Ramban's source for this is. In other words, I'm not aware of any Gemara that talks about Hillel Hasheni being Koveya the calendar. There's a Gemara in Beitza that maybe hints to the possibility the calendar was fixed at a certain point. It doesn't certainly mention Hillel Hasheni's name. So it's a very... But that's the Ramban's position. The Ramban's position, which in itself is not a simple matter, the Ramban's position is that there are two modes of Kiddush HaChodesh. When you have a Beis Din of Smuchim, when you have Dayana with real smicha, we don't have real smicha today, as I always like to say. I'd like to quote Rosh Hashanah, I think he says this. We're all fake rabbis. Those of us who are rabbis are fake rabbis, because we don't have real smicha. This is some medieval type of smicha that we give, but real smicha was lost. It was only given in Eretz Yisrael. It was lost in the 4th or 5th century. The chain of smicha was broken. When you have smuchim, the Rambam says, you do Kiddush HaChodesh like you do Kiddush HaChodesh, with the Beis Din. They have Edim come, Edim saw the moon, you do Kiddush, it's called Kiddush Al Pi HaRi'iya. However, when there is no Beis Din, when there are no smuchim, the Rambam says, the mitzvah in our Torah is to do Kiddush Al Pi Cheshvan. You simply do it based upon the calculation, without witnesses coming, without anything like that. The Rambam himself seems to offer two different formulations. Who does the Cheshvan? In one place, the Rambam really sounds like he thought that in his day there was a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. You're talking about 12th century. He thought there was a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael that was actually every month declaring Rosh Chodesh. It's pretty clear there wasn't. There's another passage in the very same chapter, it's the fifth parak of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, where the Rambam says that don't assume that when we have our calendar today, that the Rosh Chodesh and the Yom Tovim are set because of our calculation. It's not. It's because of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Chas v'shalom, the Rambam says, were there to be no Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and we might say no Jews in Eretz Yisrael observing Rosh Chodesh and the Moados, our calendar would cease to function. So the Rambam says it's either a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael that's declaring every Chodesh, not a smuchim. They don't have Edim come and say we saw the moon. They just go to the calculation, they go to the Luach, and they say, okay, this is Rosh Chodesh today, this is when we're celebrating this. Or perhaps the Rambam's alternate formulation is that Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael functions in effect as the representatives, as the Beis Din, and when they celebrate Rosh Chodesh, when they celebrate the Yom Tovim, that constitutes Kiddush Al Pi Cheshbon, as opposed to when you have real Dayanim Smuchim, you do Kiddush Al Pi HaRi'iyah. So for the Rambam, it continues to work, either because there's a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael that does something, or, historically speaking, that's not going to work, or because Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael that celebrates the Moados, that celebrates Rosh Chodesh, that is Koveya the Luach. Yes?
I could be getting my chronology wrong, but according to the Rambam, it would be that until Smicha ended, it should be like Yehuda ben Bava, I believe, or...
No, later than that.
Later than that. Okay, so then that would...
Fourth or fifth century Amorai, Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, so the Amorai. Okay, so that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Now, in the time of the Gemara says, there's a famous brisa that says, if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Smicha would have been lost. But he transmitted the Smicha at the cost of his own life. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the Gemara is in the Gemara is, I think, in the first parak in Sanhedrin, I think in the first parak in Abu Dhazar. Okay. The third shita, which is the most interesting one from a historian's perspective, I don't want to dwell upon it, I'd rather actually talk about what the cheshbon is, how we calculate, is the position of Rav Sadyago, cited by Rabbeinu Chananel, which is cited by Rabbeinu Bechai. If you want to find the passage, look in the Toras Chaim Mikros Gedolos. They call Rabbeinu Chananel. It's really just a whole passage from Rabbeinu Bechai. Citing Rabbeinu Chananel, who is really, he's not quoting Sadyagon, but it's Sadyagon's position. Sadyagon's position is astounding. The Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayis, in I think the second parak in Rosh Hashanah, cites this commentary not by name, disparages it, and says, he doesn't even want to tell you who said it, and he thinks he only said it for polemical purposes, which might be true. Sadyagon claims that Kiddush HaChodesh was always Al Pi Cheshvan. You learn Mishnayis and Rosh Hashanah, you scratch your head. What is he talking about? So Sadyagon says, that was just Lahutzi Miliban Shel Tztukim. Because the Tztukim thought that the rabbis didn't know how to calculate the month. So what they did is they had Edim come to show, to testify, and demonstrate that the Chacham, in fact, were sufficient experts in astronomy. But Sadyagon believes Kiddush HaChodesh is always done just based upon calculations. So the Rambam thought that was a polemical, anti-Karite position. But be that as it may, according to Sadyagon, he doesn't say this explicitly, it would seem intuitive that the calendar more or less is automatic and all it requires is a calculation being done to make sure it's correct. There is no formal process in Beis Din per se. Beis Din was just pointing out the astronomical phenomena and when the new moon would be visible and so on. And the only purpose of the Edom and the Mishnah was all for show. Which is an astounding position, and the Rambam thought it was a little bit crazy. And that's why he dismisses it as being polemical. Okay. However it works, the calendar does work. But now the question is, how do we determine the calendar? Now, just to, I mentioned before that the 19, if you turn to the second sheet, I mentioned before that the 19 lunar years and 19 solar years come out to be almost the same. Now, the truth is, as I mentioned before, there is a slight differential. If the Rambam himself in two chapters, two sequential chapters, Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, 9 and 10, works the calculations with two different numbers for the solar year. The first calculation is the first length of the solar year is known as Tekufa Shmuel. It's based upon a Gemara in Erevin. It's the Julian calendar where the solar year is exactly 365 and a quarter days. What that means, if you assume that to be an accurate number, is that the solar year is actually an hour and 495 halakim longer than the lunar year. What that would mean, actually, is that over time, what's happening to our calendar, if that were true, is that the seasons are actually getting later and later with respect to the lunar year. Meaning every 19 years, the vernal equinox, the equinox in the spring, the way Julian, you know, the Emperor Julian's calendar was set up, the way Shmuel calculated, was getting an hour and a third, an hour and a half, not quite an hour and a half, later, and yet the lunar years weren't getting later. So slowly what's going to happen, if you think that Tekufa Shmuel is correct, is the lunar calculation is drifting backwards, and eventually you're going to wind up with problems, Pesach being during the winter according to the Julian calendar. Now, there was another calculation. I'm not going to go, I go through the math here very briefly, I don't want to spend much time on it, that the solar year wasn't actually 365 and a quarter days, but it was actually 365 days, 5 hours, 997 chalakim, and 48 regayim. Now, a chalak is 1/1,080th of an hour. A rega is 1/76th of a chalak. Now, that number is an artificial number. If you take and do the math with that number, as I do here, you will see that that number makes sure that the metonic cycle is exact. That 19 solar years of that length, which is a little less, it's about 365, 5 hours, and about 55 minutes or so, 55 plus minutes, and they are exactly the same. The good news for us is that, in fact, at least for now, is that in reality, the actual length of the solar year is 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes and about 45 seconds, which means actually that the solar cycle is 7 minutes shorter. The 19 solar years are 7 minutes shorter than 19 lunar years. What's happening now, if you look at the calendar, is that Pesach is slowly drifting towards summer. But we have a long time until it becomes a problem, so that will be left to future generations to deal with. Okay, that's not our problem. But anyway, in principle, the idea is that we want 19 and 19 to line up. Now, the question is, how is the calendar determined? So I'm going to very, very briefly, I want to give you a few basic principles. If you're really interested, by the way, I think most of the shiur are recorded online. I've been giving a chabura uptown during lunch on Monday, so somewhere on Torah Web, a few may not come and have been recorded, you'll get it's called the Sod HaYibur. That's what the title of the shiur is. So if you're interested in following, either that or you can learn the 6th through the 10th prakim of the Rambam. Were you there this summer when we did that?
No. I was there this summer, but...
Not one day. Okay, now when we had a blitzkrieg in one day of doing at least the first 3 prakim. But if you want, you can listen there. But I'm going to sort of summarize very, very briefly. It's basically brute force arithmetic with a couple of simple rules. The way Chazal laid out our calendar, post-Cheshbon, not in their days, but in our days, is that the months alternate 30-29, 30-29. That's the basic rule. In a regular year, not a leap year, when you have 354 days, it's achieved by Nisan 30, if you look on the second page, Iyar 29, Sivan 30, Tammuz 29, and so on. When you add in the extra month, you add in, in effect, Adar Rishon, you add in 30 days. The rule is that the Adar, which is next to Nisan, which is Adar in a regular year, or Adar Sheni in a leap year, is always Choser, it's always 29 days. We talk about a Chodesh Male is 30 days, a Chodesh Choser is 29 days. Now, sometimes, however, for various reasons, we have to either add or take away a day from the year. Meaning a normal year, what's referred to as a Kisidron year, is 354 days if it's a regular year, and 384 days if it's a leap year. If we have to take away a day, for whatever reason, to make it either 353 or 383, it's called Chadashah Chaserim. And what we do is we drop a day off of Chodesh Kislev. We turn Kislev into 29. Normally, Mar Cheshvan should be 29 because it's the 8th month. Kislev should be 30. We'll either drop a day from Kislev if we have to make it a day less, or if we have to have an extra day in the year, meaning to get 355 or 385, we'll add a day instead. We won't take a day if we have Kislev. Instead, we add a day to Mar Cheshvan. So that's what the chart here shows you. Now, I'm going to give you the simplified version. What is it that we primarily try to avoid happening in our calendar? There's one thing that we want, one mnemonic that we want to avoid. Lo Adu Rosh. We don't want Rosh Hashanah to be on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Why not? Well, we don't really care when Rosh Hashanah is, but we don't want Yom Kippur to be either Friday or Sunday because we don't want 2 days of Shabbos in a row. One of the reasons given by the Gemara was that that you're allowed to bury a mace having Goyim do it on Yom Tov Rishon, and Jews do it on Yom Tov Sheni, but you're not allowed to have a mace buried even by Goyim on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. And if Shabbos and Yom Kippur were consecutive, you'd have 2 days that you couldn't bury the mace, and it was nivul ha-mace because the body would start to decompose and have refrigeration. Okay, so Yom Kippur may not come out on Friday or Sunday. If Yom Kippur were to be on Friday or Sunday, Rosh Hashanah would be on Wednesday or Friday. That's why Lo Adu Rosh. That's the Dalet and the Vav. And we don't want Hoshana Rabbah to be on Shabbos because we wanted to do the Arava ceremony. Lahotzi Milivan Shel Tzedukim, who denied the Arava ceremony because they denied Torah Shabbat Peh. And therefore, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Sunday, Hoshana Rabbah would be on Shabbos because if Rosh Hashanah is Sunday, the first day of Sukkot is Sunday, Shemini Atzeres is Sunday, Hoshana Rabbah Shabbos. Therefore, Lo Adu Rosh. If you've ever heard the mnemonic, you may also know that Lo Adu Rosh, and what can Pesach be? Or Lo Badu Pesach. We don't care when Pesach is. It just happens to be that if you look at the calendar, from Pesach to Rosh Hashanah, there is no variance whatsoever in the calendar. There's no extra month, and the month's always exactly 30-29. So if you just do a simple count back from, you can even go from Rosh Chodesh Nisan to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, it's 6 months, which is 174 days. I mean, it's 177 days, excuse me. 6 times 30, but 3 of the months are only 29. 177, and you divide by 7, and you get 7 times 25 is 175. You get a remainder of 2, which means whenever Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, which is the same day as Pesach, the 15th of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah is always 2 days later in the week. So if you just count back Lo Adu Rosh, and you subtract 2 from each number, you get, it's not Badu, it's Ubad, I think. Lo Adu Rosh for Lo Ubad Pesach, that you can bother people if you want to say that. So basically, we don't want Rosh Hashanah to be Adu. That's our main concern. Now, I'm not going to tell you exactly, well, so how do we determine what the calendar year is? It's a very, very simple algorithm. What we do is we figure out when Rosh Hashanah is this year, and then we figure out when Rosh Hashanah is next year. Based upon once we have determined those 2 days, we just see how many days difference there is in between them. And based upon that, you know whether in order to get that to happen, you need 354 or 353 or 355. If it's going to be a leap year, now I'll tell you how you know whether it's a leap year or not. That's fixed in advance. That's a simple mnemonic. Then you see whether, in order to get Rosh Hashanah this year and Rosh Hashanah next year to have the right number of days, whether you need 384 or 383 or 385. Now, how do you know whether it's a leap year or not? It's a very simple mnemonic. We go on 19-year cycles, and if you look at right at the end of Roman numeral 3, the Seder HaMe'ubaris is Guach Adzat. 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, 19. We happen to be, by the way, be in the 19th year this year of this cycle. Basically, you determine whether it's a leap year or not by simply looking whether it's one of those years, Guach Adzat, and then you see when Rosh Hashanah is this year, when Rosh Hashanah is next year, and then, based upon the number of days, you just do basic arithmetic and figure out how you have to line up the months. Now, how do you know when Rosh Hashanah is this year and when Rosh Hashanah is next year? That's the more important question. So the answer is also relatively simple. It's just brute force arithmetic. We know we're counting. This is a sort of a number that was determined backwards. But we know when the first molad of, what you have to figure out is, when is the molad of Tishrei, Chodesh Tishrei this year, and when is the molad of Chodesh Tishrei next year? And based upon the molad of each Rosh Chodesh, you know when Rosh Hashanah is. There's, now, how do you figure out, firstly, when the molad of Tishrei is? Well, the molad of Tishrei in year one of creation, and we're going to count the way we count, forgetting about the actual geological age of the earth and the age of the universe, we count, we're now in the year 5776. The molad of year one was on of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, was a Monday night, 5 hours, 204 halakim. 5 hours starts from 6 p.m. in the evening, so it's actually what we call 11 p.m. All you do month after month is you add 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. I would suggest you use a calculator. I use a spreadsheet, or macros in Excel. Yes.
Can you explain what a molad actually is?
Molad is when the sun and the moon come, and the earth come in conjunction. It would be when the new moon would first be visible. So once you determine, once you start with a fixed number, the first molad, you just figure out how many months have elapsed since, and how many months have elapsed since. Well, every 19 years is 235 months. So then figure out how many 19-year blocks have passed, and then you come up with the remainder. For the number of blocks that have passed, and we are finishing the 304th cycle. This is the last 304th cycle. So 303 full cycles have passed. So multiply 303 by 235, the number of months in each 19-year cycle, and then look, you know which how many months have passed by in this 19-year cycle. Just look at each year of the cycle. It's either 12 or 13 months following the rule of Guah Hadzah. You know whether it's a leap year or not a leap year. I'm not asking you to down your head, I promise. But it's very simple arithmetic. You determine how many months have passed until Rosh Chodesh Tishrei of this year. You now know when the molad of Tishrei is. And once you know the molad of Tishrei, there's a four-part rule, a four-part, in principle, the day that the molad comes out is when you set Rosh Hashanah. But you know that if it comes out or Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday, you push it off a day. So there are actually four very, again, simple, in principle, simple rules that you apply to test the molad and determine whether you push Rosh Hashanah off a day or two. But you do that for this year, you do that for next year, and everything else is simple. Because you know that you know whether it's a leap year or not, and you know that whether it's a leap year or not, you know that it's either, if it's not a leap year, it's 354 plus or minus 1, and it's 3 or 384 plus or minus 1. So I know that's a lot to sort of wrap your heads around in 2.5 minutes, but it's actually quite simple. It seems, you know, mind-numbing, difficult, but it's actually quite simple. Calculate Rosh Hashanah this year, next year, based upon the molad and the rules of what they call the chios, of pushing off Rosh Hashanah sometimes from the actual day of the molad, and then you'll know just on the basic arithmetic. If you look at the bottom of the page, bottom of page 2, you'll see, I just lay out for you, a year that's either Chasera, Kisidron, or Shlema, and the number of days in each month, 354 minus plus 1, 384 minus plus 1. The number in parentheses, by the way, is the remainder when you divide by 7. Why is that significant? It's interesting only because there's only one year in the Hebrew calendar where it's an exact number of weeks. And the interesting part of being an exact number of weeks, of course, is that the Chagim, 2 years in a row, come out on the same day. I don't know if any... And the only way you can get an exact number of weeks is when it's a leap year, and it's Shlemos. We add an extra day. Now, I don't know how many of you remember, but Rosh Chodesh this year, 3 months in a row, we had 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Tishrei is always 30 days. Mar Cheshvan, we added a day, and Kislev is normally 30 days. We didn't take away a day. This year is a leap year, and it's a Shlema. Does anybody remember when Pesach came out last year? I'll help you. Shabbos. Do you know when Pesach's coming out this year? Shabbos. You know when Rosh Hashanah was last year? Was this past year? Monday. Guess when it's going to be this coming year? Monday. Because this is the only year that is a 385 day, a perfect number of weeks, 55 weeks. Okay. We're almost there. Now I have, yes?
Sorry, just very quickly. What was the source for the molad of the first year?
It's a number that's calculated backwards. At some point in the last 1,800 years, they knew when the molad was, and they calculated backwards, saying if it's every... Because it's the 29 and a half days at 79 is very close. It's off by a third of a second, but that does add up over time. But somewhere in the last 1800 years or so, they knew when the Molad was by observation, and then they counted back to say, well, in the year one of Bria, right? So that's why I'm telling you it doesn't really matter how old the universe is. It's irrelevant because it's an artificial number, but it works for our purposes.
Okay.
That's how the people in the Esrach Torah Luach, and that's how Hebkal, it's all based upon that. I said, I mean, I can show you, you're not interested, I can show you the code in Visual Basic in Excel. You know, it's not more than 50 or 60 lines to do all of the work. It's quite simple. Okay. Anyway, now it's very nice, but I want to empower you in a very simple way, which is to turn to the last sheet in the book. This, ladies, is the way that it's a shorthand without your having to do any of the arithmetic. All you have to do, firstly, I want to explain to you, look at, this page, firstly, comes from the Torah. Rav Yaakov ben Asher, the famous Torah on which the Shulchan Aruch is based, the four halakim, originally was the Rosh Hashan, the Arba Torah, this is printed in Orach Chaim, in the Mishnah Brura divisions, it's at the end of the fourth chelik, by Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. This is the corrected version from the new fancy printed Torah. The old standard Torah had something like this, a slightly simpler chart, but with errors in it. Okay? This is the correct version. If you hold this sheet in your hand, you have all the power. Unfortunately, the Xerox machine wasn't great, so you may want to go, I think it's on the shelf here, straight ahead. That's the Machon Torah. You will find it in the Orach Chaim, I don't remember which volume, it's around Tav Chav Ches, right before Hilchos Pesach, right after Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. You will find the one that you can read everything on. But we don't need to read everything tonight. I can show you what, I'll show you first where we are, although it's a little bit hard to see. Okay, if you go to the third column from the left, and the bottom box, not the bottom of the square boxes, what does that say? Can anyone read the three letters? It's not easy. It says Beis Shin Zayin. That's this year. You know what Beis Shin Zayin means? Beis is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was on a Monday. Shin is Shlemos. It tells you that both Mar Cheshvan and Kislev have 30 days. Zayin is actually not important. It's just a shorthand to help you. Pesach happens to come out on Shabbos. Now, the next year will be, if you go to the top of the next column. Can anyone read that? It says, Beis Ches Gimel, which means Rosh Hashanah will be on a Monday, as you know it's going to be. Ches will be Chaseros, both Maror Cheshvan and Kislev are 29 days. And Pesach of next year is going to be on a Tuesday. Now, incidentally, if you want to just test that, if Pesach next year is going to be on a Tuesday, when will Rosh Hashanah next year be? Thursday. And look down the next box, and what do you see? Hey, Chav Zayin. By the way, in the old Torah, they don't give you the third letter. They don't give you Pesach. They just give you Rosh Hashanah and Shlemos. Now, how do you know whether it's a leap year or not? So that's simple. You don't really need me to tell you, but you know, look at the 19-year cycle. Look down the right column. You see Aleph through Yotes? They're nice enough. The letter next to it is a pei or a mem. Pshuta or milberes. It follows the Goach Hadzat rule. Gimel, Vav, Ches, Yeralf, Yodali, Zayin, Yotes are all say mem from the uberes, leap year. All the others are peis. The only thing that you need to know last is to figure out how do you know which box is relevant to this year. Now, once I got you started, if you know that the second to last, I take that back. They're both the same for the first couple of years. The second to last column, next year will be Beis Ches Gimel. For the next 18 years, just go down that column. No issues there. That will end, by the way, mark the end of a 247-year cycle. And when that is done, when some of you will be approaching middle age, if we call 40 middle age, or just made middle age, you will then go back to the beginning of the first column. How do you, now, in the original Torah, the way it's printed is, it's a total of 13 rows. It's a 247-year cycle, as if it repeats exactly. It's not actually true. Most of the years of the 247-year cycle are the same, but there are slight variations. It's just a question, it's the same, the brute force arithmetic. I had a spreadsheet generate all the years, and guess what? Now to be 247 years are exactly the same. Now, the way you what you have to look for is a very simple thing.
That the error you were referring to before? Is that
what's that?
You said before there was an error in the old one.
Yes, the error in the old one was assuming is equated every 19-year cycle, 13 cycles apart, as being identical, and they're not. Many knows it happens to be of the 247-year cycle, the first 19 are always the same. And the Torah calculated for just under 1,000 years, for 988 years, for 247-year cycles. The printers messed it up later. But it happens to be that of the first 19-year cycle of each of the 247-year blocks, the 19 years are identical. And you can see when the Torah started. Look at these numbers in the when you turn it sideways. Those numbers tell you which machs are in. The first one was, I think, Resh Mem Zayin. Resh Mem Zayin, 247 times 19. It's the, 246 times 19 plus 1. It's the first year of the 247 cycle. But they give you the year anyway. Can you see what it says under it? Hey, Nun Hey. That is the year about 1294. It's Tishrei 1294 going to 1295. So these are just the Machzorim, the 19-year Machzorim. So all you have to do is find your Machzor. And that will tell you, the first year of the Machzor you're in. How do you know what year the Machzor you're in? Well, that's easy. Divide the Hebrew date, see how many 19-year cycles have passed in the current day. The way you do that is you subtract one from this year, because you want to see how many completed cycles there are. So you subtract one from 5776. If you didn't, you'd get the wrong answer, by the way. 5776 divided by 19 is 304. But we are finishing the 304th. We are in the 304th cycle. I'm trying to remember. How do you do the add? You can figure out the arithmetic, but we are finishing the 304th cycle. 303 complete cycles have passed. That you can subtract 1 and divide by 19, and that tells you how many complete cycles have passed, and if you have any, I guess, remainder, you're in the new cycle. So if you look, I told you to look at the third column from the left. Turn it sideways and follow down. And you see the second of the, I guess, vertical boxes, the rectangles, says Shin Balad, Hey Tav Shin Nun Ches. When was Tav Shin Nun Ches? 57, 58, right? Was, I don't know how long ago, it was about 1998. Okay, we are in cycle Shin Balad. If you, that means that 18 years ago, go to the top box. 18 years ago, Rosh Hashanah was on a Thursday, Hachaz. But basically, all you have to do is figure out which box you are in. Just look, it will tell you the first year of the cycle. It tells you the number cycle, and what would the first year be. And then turn it sideways, and just go up. Whichever year of the cycle you're in, that's the box. So if you have this piece of paper, or if you get a cleaner Xerox from the tour, now you know how everything is determined. What I explained to you before about figuring out when Rosh Hashanah is this year, when Rosh Hashanah is next year, based upon the Molad, that's how this chart was generated, by the Torah and by anybody who does it. But basically, you don't need to do the arithmetic for a good long while. You have another 266 years. So if you want to use this chart, this will tell you everything you want to know. Just find your cycle, then know which year, based upon basic division, the remainder of 19, which year the 19-year cycle you're in, and then go to the appropriate year. You know whether it's a leap year or not. You know when Rosh Hashanah is. You know whether the months are Shlemos, Achaseros, or Kisidron. And you're done. Let me just mention one last thing, which is just a very handy mnemonic, which I mentioned before. It's called the Atbash mnemonic. Atbash is a mnemonic. It's just the first and last letters of the alphabet, second and second to last. Aleph Kaf, Bei Shin, Gimel Resh. It's a useful mnemonic for figuring out if you know either when Pesach or Rosh Hashanah is, figuring out when all the Chagim are in that year. But you have to remember one thing. If all I'm telling you is when Pesach or Rosh Hashanah is, it's Pesach of this year and Rosh Hashanah the next. And the reason why the mnemonic works is because since starting with Adar Sheni, starting with the last Adar until Tishrei, there is no variance within the months. Last Adar is 29, Nisan 30, Iyar 29, Sivan 30, Tam was 29, Av 30, Elul 29, Tishrei 30. With the exception of Hanukkah, if you start in Adar, the last Adar, and you go to Tishrei, and if you have no variance in the month, that is all the Chagim of the year, except for, I guess, Hanukkah and Asar B'Tevis, which incidentally might be the only Chagim that can come out, I think, just about any day of the week, because of the funny months in between. But from this year, Purim, technically, until Simchas Torah, once you know any one of those Chagim, you know every single one within that cycle. The rule goes as follows. At, if Pesach is on a Sunday, which it can come out, Tisha B'Av will be on a Sunday as well. Some of you may know Sunday the Minhag of wearing a kippah on Pesach because it's Zecher L'Avelus, because Pesach night, the first day night, is always the same night as Tisha B'Av. Okay? This year, by the way, Pesach is Shabbos, so when is Tisha B'Av? It's Shabbos, and it's Nidchet to Sunday. Bash, if Pesach was on a Sunday, Monday will be Shin, Shavuos. That's pretty simple to realize. Also, Shavuos is exactly 7 weeks after the second day of Pesach. Gar, Gimel, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is always 2 days later in the week than Pesach. Because Pesach is Shabbos this year, Rosh Hashanah will be Monday in Tav Shin Ayin Zayin. Dak, Kuf stands for Hakafos. Simchas Torah will be 1 day later in the week. That makes sense because Rosh Hashanah, first day Sukkah, Shemini Atzeres, are all the same day, and Simchas Torah is 1 day later. Hatz, the Tzadi is for Tzoma Kippur. Yom Kippur is 2 days later in the week than Rosh Hashanah, which makes sense, because Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month, the eighth day of the month is the same day of the week, ninth and tenth is Yom Kippur. And finally, Vap is Purim. Now this is Purim looking backwards from Pesach. Purim is always 2 days earlier in the week, or 5 days later, than Pesach. If Pesach is Shabbos this year, when is Purim? 2 days earlier, which would be on a Thursday. And lo and behold, look at the calendar, Purim's on a Thursday. And if you are an ardent Zionist, but it doesn't really work, Zion Ayim stands for Yom HaTzmaot. It doesn't work because they never celebrate Yom HaTzmaot on the 5th of Iyar. But the 5th of Iyar, the 5th of Iyar is always 1 day earlier in the week than Pesach. But anyway, so that's a nice shorthand. And the last paragraph I'm not going to talk about is how Kriyas HaTorah is tied to the calendar. But basically, that is why this year is a leap year. It's a leap year because we need to make it a leap year because of the seasons. We know it's a leap year because we have a calendar, a cycle, a metonic cycle, following Guach Adzat, those years. Doing the basic arithmetic, we discover that we are in a 19th year of the 19-year cycle, and that is a leap year. And the way everything else is determined is either the long version of figuring out, based upon the Molad, of this Rosh Chodesh Tishrei and Chodesh Tishrei and the Molar next Chodesh Tishrei, and following the rules of when you set Rosh Hashanah, you determine when Rosh Hashanah is this year, and then you know when Rosh Hashanah is next year, you see how many days are in between, whether it's a leap or not leap year, and that's how you decide how the months fall out, Mar Cheshvan and Kislev. And if you don't want to do the arithmetic, you can simply rely upon the nice handy-dandy chart in the Torah to tell you exactly how the years come out. Are there any questions? I'm sure there are, but... Yes, it can. Lo Adu Pesach. It wouldn't matter anyway, but it can. Lo Adu Rosh. Lo Adu Rosh v'lo Badu Pesach.
So it has all the days anyway. Like it has Dalet here, but it can't follow.
No. This mnemonic says, is if Pesach is on a Sunday, Monday is Shavuos, Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah, Wednesday is Simchas Torah, Thursday is Tzoma Kippurim, Friday is Purim. Those are not the only day that stands for Pesach here is the Aleph. Right? And if Pesach were on a Tuesday, bump everything off by 2 days. If Pesach's on a Thursday, by 4 days. Shabbos, subtract 1 day from everything. But that's the, very simple. Yes?
What are we going to do when Pesach ends up in the summer, though? Do you subtract a month?
That is not my problem.
Do you have a suggestion for...
No, I have so many other problems I'd like to solve. I think I've solved. I have no idea. But, you know, when the Sanhedrin comes about, they'll figure it out. They'll just skip a leap month in a year that you would have expected. In the metonic cycle, you just drop a month. That's all.
Okay.
In other words, instead of doing Guach Adzat, we'll say, just kidding, no leap year this 19th year, done, move on. That's all.
Okay. And they would have to do that once in a while. Well, they would keep pushing back.
Once you have a base, then they don't have to follow exactly Guach Adzat. They can do it all, just like they do Kiddush HaChodesh HaPiriyah, they can be Ma'abra the Shana based
unless
upon
maybe
the
maybe you follow Mosad, yeah.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Any other questions? Good night.